Well, we'll continue our study this morning of John the Baptist. We'll be in John chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. The first week we looked at the pronouncement of John's birth. We looked at how the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias and told him that he would have a son. We looked at, then the next week, we looked at John's birth and what took place at his birth. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at the baptism of Christ. And today we're going to look at a conversation that John had with a delegation who was sent to figure out who John was. They didn't know who John was, and so they're trying to figure out who he is. And in John chapter 1, verses 19 to 28, the Word of God says this: "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." This morning we're going to take a look at this message called A Case of Mistaken Identity. A Case of Mistaken Identity. Let's go to the Lord and pray and ask Him to bless the sermon this morning. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we love You, Lord, and we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Your goodness and for Your grace in our lives. And Father, we pray this morning and thank You for the privilege we have to gather here together in Your name and in this place and to open Your Word. And Father, there are those who are not able to be with us today, Lord, for illness sake. And we pray, Father, that You would comfort them. We pray, Father, that You would strengthen them. And we pray, Father, that You would heal them. And Lord, that we would see their health improve and that they'd be able to join us again next week. And Father, for those of us who are here, I pray, Father, that You would help us this morning. I pray, Father, that we would pay attention, that we would open our ears, that we would open our minds, and that we would open our hearts, Lord, to the preaching of Your Word. I pray, Father, that You would empower me through Your Holy Spirit to preach in a way that would bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that by lifting Him up this morning, that as He promised, He will draw people unto Himself. And I pray, Father, that You would just meet with us in a very real way today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said this morning, the title of the message is A Case of Mistaken Identity. Now, in the last sermon, we examined the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately following Christ's baptism, the Bible tells us that He was led of the Spirit to go into the wilderness. And so, as soon as He was baptized and Jesus came up out of the water, He pretty much departed immediately to the wilderness. And we know that's where this temptation of the devil took place, where the devil tempted Him. And so Jesus has once again departed off of the scene. Now, the event that we read about today, this delegation that is sent to question John, the event that we read about today took place after that baptism. After that baptism. Now, you remember that baptism was a significant event. The Holy Spirit descended visibly and bodily and rested upon Christ. Those that were present were able to see that. The voice of God the Father called out from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And those who were present were able to hear it. And so it was an important event. It was a big event in the life of not only Christ, but the people who were there to witness it. It was not a secret event, for everyone was able to see it. Now, when you combine the baptism of Christ And these great crowds that were going out to hear John and who were responding to John's message through baptism. And you will begin to understand that many people in Jerusalem began to be curious about what was really going on with John. Especially the religious leaders were wondering, okay, what is going on here? Who is this guy? Who is he, and what is he doing out there with this preaching? And so because of the baptism, because of all the crowds going out, because of how people were responding, they began to question and they began to speculate about John's identity and what was really going on. Now in this passage, we read about a delegation that was sent to try to ascertain some information about John. This delegation was sent out to try to find out what's going on here. There is one overriding truth exhibited in this passage. And indeed, I would say this, it was present in all of John's life and ministry. One overriding truth we see exhibited here is this. John always had a proper understanding of his identity in relationship to the Lord. John always had a proper understanding of his identity in relationship to the Lord. He was not one to elevate his position in the eyes of men. John did not elevate his position in the eyes of men. This morning, let's look at three of John's responses to this delegation that was sent to question him. Three of John's responses. Now we see in verses 19 through 21, we see this. We see John's denial. We see John's denial. The Bible says this in John 1:19. It says, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.'" And so we see the first response that John gave these men was a denial. Now, if you remember, go back to Luke chapter 1, and let's examine quickly and briefly some of the events surrounding John the Baptist's birth. Again, it's confusing when you're reading from the Gospel of John, from the Apostle John, and you're speaking about John the Baptist. You get your wires crossed. But we're going to read about the birth of John the Baptist here in Luke chapter number 1. Now, if you remember, the Bible tells us that fear and anticipation spread throughout the hill country of Judea at John's birth. John chapter 1, verse 65, it says this, "And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea." So the people who lived around Zacharias and Elizabeth when John was born, it says that fear came upon all those people that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings about what John the Baptist was going to do were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And so we see that when John was born, the word went out, fear fell upon the people, and they said, "What kind of child is this going to be? What kind of man is this little boy going to grow up to be?" Okay? And so people were, they had a fear and an anticipation of what was going to happen with John the Baptist. Now, as a result, go to Mark chapter 1. As a result, when John began to preach the message that God had given him, Mark tells us this in Mark 1:5. Mark 1:5, it says this. And John is preaching and baptizing, and it says in Mark 1:5, "And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins." And so we see that when John was born, there's this great anticipation, this great fear. We see that when John begins to preach, that because of people's memory and because of the message that John preached, it says all of Judea went out to hear his message. People came from far and wide to hear the message that John was preaching. Now, some scholars believe that John's ministry reached its peak during either a Sabbath or a Jubilee year. And you know, if you know the Old Testament, you know that during a Sabbath year or during a Jubilee year, that The land was to be given rest, and work was not to be done. You were supposed to eat of the harvest that God had given the year before, and it was a year for the land to rest. And because of that, people would have had extra time off to go and listen to this man, John, preach. And some scholars believe that's why he was able to draw such large crowds, because there was less work to be done during that year. But nonetheless, it says all of Judea went out to listen to John, and people from Jerusalem as well. And so they go out and they listen to this message, and many of them respond, and many of them are baptized. Now turn to Luke chapter 3. I know we're all over the Gospels this morning, but I just want us to see what's going on with John. Now, in Luke chapter 3, this is before the baptism of Jesus, okay? This is before they see the Holy Spirit come down and settle upon Christ. But in Luke chapter 3, verse 15, it says this, "And as the people were in expectation," remember we talked about that, what manner of child will this be? "As people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not." So people were expecting, people were wondering what's going on with this kid, and people began to think in their hearts. Everybody had a theory. Everybody had an idea. And it says this, people were wondering whether John was the Christ. They were wondering whether John was the Messiah, okay? And people were wondering about that. And so then, put all of that together, and we get what's going on in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 is an outgrowth of all of those things. So we see the people were expecting something great from John based on the events around his birth. Did his ministry cause quite a stir throughout Judea and in Jerusalem? Some people thought that John could be the Messiah. And then we have this revelation from God at the baptism of Jesus. And when the religious leaders got all of this information and began to process it, they began to wonder, what is going on with this wild man out in the desert doing all this preaching? What is going on? Who is he? And so this is what we see in John 1. They send forth this delegation of Levites and priests to question John. They send these men forth to question John. Okay? And we see in verse 24, specifically it tells us that they were sent by the Pharisees. They were specifically in verse 24, it says they were sent by the Pharisees. Now listen, it is important to understand that John had no reason to feel inferior to this delegation. We're going to see in this passage that John was exercised great humility in dealing with these people. But understand this, it was not a false humility. It was not that he felt subservient to them. Okay? John was not inferior to these men. They sent to him priests and Levites. But if you remember John's lineage, you understand that he was the son of Zacharias, who served in the temple. He was the son of Elizabeth. And it says that Elizabeth came from a priestly family as well. So John's lineage was the priesthood on both sides. John had every right to be a priest, just as these men who were questioning him. He had every right to hold their same office. And so he had no reason to feel subservient to them. He had no reason to feel inferior to them. He had every right to hold the same position that they held. And verse 19 records for us, they said, "Who art thou?" They say, "Who art thou?" Okay? And then he says immediately in verse 20, "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ." That tells me something, this. They said, "Who are you?" And what does he say to them? "Well, I'm not the Christ." Now, John's not omniscient. He doesn't know what they've come to ask him. Which that tells me something. That tells me that one of them, or maybe some of them, said, not only, "Who art thou?" But they said, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Christ?" Not only did they give a question, but I believe they also offered their own answer. And John says, wait a minute here. Hold on just a second. I am not the Christ. It says he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Now the verbiage here is a very strong and a very intense denial. It's a threefold denial. He says, I am not the Christ. And so he very quickly denies what they are bringing to him. He says, no, wait a minute here. I'm not the one. Okay, and so then they say this to him. They say in verse number 21, are you Elias? Are you Elijah? And they go back. We talked about this in the first sermon. The prophecy from Malachi that Elijah would come again. That there would be a second coming of the prophet Elijah. They said, well, are you Elijah? And what does he say? Nope, not Elijah. Not Elijah. And then they say this. Okay, well, they would have been aware of the prophecy of Malachi. That's why they brought it up. And they may have been aware of what John's father said when he was born. What did John's father say when he was born? He said that he was going to go forth in the power and the spirit of Elijah. And so probably these men were aware of this, and they said, are you Elijah? He says, no, I'm not Elijah. That's not who I am. That's not me. So he confesses that he's not Elijah. And then they say this, art thou that prophet? It's a very generic term, that prophet. Are you that guy? Okay, go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we'll see who that prophet is. Deuteronomy 18. Who is that prophet? Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19. Now Moses is giving forth a prophecy here, talking to the children of Israel. And he says this, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, big P. Hopefully your Bible has capital P, prophet. A prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Who does that sound like? That's Jesus. That's Jesus in verse 19. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. If you will not believe what he says, I'm going to require it of you. Now, this is that prophet. When you read that in the New Testament, a reference to that prophet, it is this prophet in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19. And this is a reference to the Messiah. This is a reference to Jesus Christ. And so they ask him again in a different way. They say to him, are you that prophet? Are you that prophet? Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you that prophet? And we see again, what does John say? John says, one word, no. No, I'm not. And so we see John's denial of these queries show not only his humility, but they show his firm understanding of his calling and his identity in the Lord. John knew who he was. He knew who he was in the Lord. He knew what God had sent him to do. And he did not waver from it. He did not wonder, well, am I Elijah? Am I that prophet? No, he knew who he was. And he knew what his position was in the Lord. And so we see John's denial. And then we see this in verses 22 and 23. Then we see John's identity. So first he denies, no, I'm not those things. But I tell you who I am. They say in verse 22, then said they unto him, okay, then who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? Who are you? What do you say of yourself? And he says this, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah, or we would say today, Isaiah. They said, okay, fine. Then who are you? We've got to give an answer to these guys who want to know who you are. Who are you? And he says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's who I am. I have one message. Make straight the way of the Lord. That is my message. John reveals to them his identity, and he responds to them by quoting from the book of Isaiah. He responds to them by quoting this prophecy from Isaiah, and he says this, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord." Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And let's look at this prophecy. Isaiah 40. Now we've seen already. The delegation says, Are you from the book of Malachi? Elijah's coming again. Is that who you are? He says, no. And then they say, well, how about you're from the book of Deuteronomy? You're the prophet Moses talked about. And he says, no. He says, you guys are in the wrong book. I'm not from the book of Malachi. I'm not from the book of Deuteronomy. I'm from the book of Isaiah. He says, you guys need to get the right prophecy here. I'm from Isaiah chapter 40. Well, they didn't have chapters like we have chapters. But then today, I'm from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, he says. Okay? I am from the book of Isaiah. Now look what it says. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, I forget which one it is. It may be Matthew or it may be Mark that records John preaching this exact message. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And so this was John's message. And like I said, one of the Gospels records him preaching this entire message. The valleys will be filled up. The mountains will be made low. The hills will be made low. The crooked places will be made straight. The rough places will be made plain. And when that happens, the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed. And everyone's going to see it. And that is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. And John said, look, this is who I am. I am the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40. That is who I am. He tells them he is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Now there is humility in John saying this. John gave no importance to himself. He gave no importance to himself. What did he say? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He did not describe himself as a prophet. He did not describe himself as the forerunner. What did he describe himself as? One crying. One crying. He gives no prominence to himself. He doesn't take any glory for himself. He only gives prominence to the message and to the Lord. That's who he gives the prominence to. He takes none of it for himself. Then he describes a thankless job. Who of us here wants to be a voice crying in the wilderness? That's not a very good job. It's like when we came to this country on our ministry visa, they require your sponsor to advertise your position, because we cannot take a position that a British person would do. So do you know what they advertised for us to come here? And it's completely honest. They advertised a position for an unpaid church planter to the city of London. Who wants to be an unpaid anything? Who wants to be an unpaid church planter? It's not a very fun job. Well, I enjoy it, but it would not be a very fun job, okay? To be an unpaid anything. And so this is similar here. John says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Who would want that job? To go out in the wilderness, whether it's a forest or whether it's a desert place, and just preach the message. To who? No one is out there. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And that tells us that's where John was. That John wasn't walking through Jerusalem preaching this message. John was out in the wilderness in the middle of nowhere. Now, what did the people do? The people flocked out to hear him, yes. But there was no natural audience out there. There was no natural body of people to preach to. People had to go out of their way to come and hear the message. Kind of like coming to Robin Hood Junior School. You got to go through the one-way system to get here. But they had to go out of their way to come and hear the message. Who would want that job? It was a thankless job. It was not a job where you would receive great accolades or the recognition of men. It was, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And then he describes a job with only one task and only one message. There was no room for advancement in John's career. There was no place else for him to go. He wasn't going to get a promotion. This was the only task, and this was the only message. And there was no deviation from it. How boring would that be? You have one, you know, it's like working on the assembly line. You have one job, to screw this bolt onto this nut. That's your only job, day after day. John had one job, one task, and one message. The only task was to cry out the message, make straight the way of the Lord in the wilderness. That was it. The only message for him to proclaim. John did not get to proclaim great prophecies of the future. John did not write portions of scripture for our Bible. He had one task and one message. Go out into the wilderness and preach this message. And so we see that John identified himself with humility. He said, look, guys, I am just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's all I am. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. He didn't puff himself up and say, hey, let me tell you something. I am leading the way for the Messiah to come. I am the one who's going to bust the doors open wide. No. He said, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. And so we see that John identifies himself. And then we see lastly in verses 24 to 28, John makes an announcement. John makes an announcement and he says this, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. So this is a delegation from the Pharisees. And they asked him and said, why baptizest thou then? Okay, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor that prophet, why are you baptizing? Who gives you the authority to do this if you're not one of these guys? And he says this, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. After John makes his identity clear, the delegation begins to question his authority. What are you doing baptizing? Who are you to baptize? Now, from studying history, it appears there was only one reason to baptize someone under Jewish culture, Jewish Bible culture. And the only reason to baptize someone under Jewish Bible culture was to baptize a Gentile who wanted to become a Jew. He wanted to join the Jewish nation. That was the only reason for baptism in their culture. And so for John to be out in the wilderness baptizing Jews was a mystery. They could not understand, why is John baptizing Jews? The only people that should be baptized are Gentiles. Why is he out there baptizing Jews? What is he doing? And so they ask him, well, who gives you the authority to baptize? And what does John say? John basically says nothing. He says, I'm just baptizing with water. I'm just baptizing with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. John basically ignores their question and gets to the important stuff. He ignores their question, but gets to the important stuff. It's as if John is saying, yeah, I'm baptizing with water, but you need to be looking for someone much more important than me. Someone much more important than me has arrived upon the scene, and you need to be looking for him. Don't worry about me baptizing with water. And then John says this, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me. John said, he is coming after me, but he's more important than I am. He's better than I am. Yeah, he's coming after me, but he's preferred before me. Okay? He's preferred before me. And then he says, whose shoes latchet, I am not worthy to unloose. Now, we know that in Bible times, they didn't wear nice shoes like what we have. They wore sandals. And as you walk the highways and the byways, As you walk down the dirty, dusty streets, your feet got pretty nasty. There was the natural dirt and things, but then there was also the things that were deposited by the donkeys and the oxen and all this on the streets. And it was not a pleasant thing. And so once you would come into a home, there was usually a slave that would help you take off your shoes and wash your feet. And that job was the lowest job in the household. The slave that performed that job was probably the very bottom of the pecking order in the household. For a slave to have the job of helping people take off their dirty, nasty sandals and wash their feet was the lowest you could get as far as a job goes. And John says, look, John says, the guy who is coming, the one who is coming, is so righteous and so perfect that in comparison, I am lower than the lowest house slave. He is so perfect and he is so righteous that I am lower than the lowest house slave. I am not even worthy to untie his shoes. I'm not even worthy to wash his feet. I'm lower than the lowest house slave in comparison. He's like, you guys are worried about me baptizing. Let me tell you something. I'm not important. I'm not important. There's somebody who's coming who is very important. I am not important. But notice, what did he say? What else did John say? He said this, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. There standeth one among you whom you know not. Not only did John turn the attention from himself, not only did John lower his standing, but he announced that the one who he'd been preparing for had arrived. He's here. The one that we've been preparing for, he was here. Now listen, you would think that that announcement would have gotten their attention. That they would have run back to Jerusalem. They would have run back to Jerusalem. And they would have told whoever sent them. Look, John says he's the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. That the one who is supposed to come is come. And he said, he stands among us. He's here with us. And we do not know him. We need to be looking for the Messiah. You would think that's how they would behave. That would open their eyes. But here's the truth. The Pharisees were willing, in this whole exchange, they were fairly respectful with John. The Pharisees were willing to respect John because of his priestly lineage. But they were unwilling to accept the one for whom John prepared the way. They were willing to put up with John. They were willing to accept John and respect him because of his priestly lineage. It wasn't the Pharisees that did John in. It was King Herod. It wasn't a religious issue that cost John his head. It was a pride issue. It was King Herod and his adulterous relationship that cost John his head. The religious leaders were willing to give John a break because of his priestly heritage, but they were unwilling to accept the one that John prepared the way for. And so we see this morning that not only does John deny who they think he is, not only does he reveal his identity, but John announces, hey, the one who I'm preparing for, he's arrived, and you need to be on the lookout for him. And they didn't even seem to get it. It didn't even seem to click for them. They didn't even seem to understand. John always had a proper understanding of his identity in relationship to the Lord. He was not one to elevate his position in the eyes of men. Repeatedly in this passage, we see John respond with humility regarding his position and with his relationship with the Lord. There was ample opportunity for John to take honor for himself. John could have said, yeah, I'm somebody. I'm important. I'm a prophet. I'm preparing the way. You better get out of my way. No, John didn't take honor for himself. He always deflected the honor back to the Lord. It was an opportunity that John refused. John refused to take it. In this passage, John was dealing with a case of mistaken identity. The delegation thought that maybe he was someone who he was not. And that's important. It was a case of mistaken identity. And John corrected them. He said, no, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the prophet. I'm not Elijah. But here's the application for us. Sometimes in the Christian life, if we're not careful, it's not a case of mistaken identity. It's a case of stolen identity. It's not a case of mistaken identity. Sometimes, if we're not careful in the Christian life, we steal an identity that is not ours. We steal an identity that does not belong to us. We think more highly of ourselves than we should. Instead of being like John and being humble and always deflecting the praise back to the Lord, we try to steal a little bit of the glory for ourselves. And instead of it being a case of mistaken identity, it becomes a case of we stolen an identity that does not belong to us. John the Baptist always saw himself in the proper light in comparison to the Lord. Sometimes we as Christians take too much of ourselves. We think too much of ourselves in relation to the Lord. My question to you this morning is this. Do you keep the proper perspective of yourself in your relationship with Christ? Do you keep the proper perspective of yourself in your relationship to Christ? Just like John, any praise or any honor that we receive, we should deflect it back to the Lord. When people come to me and say, Pastor Ryan, that was a good message. And I don't expect that to happen very often. And I don't expect it to happen today. But when people come to me and say, Pastor Ryan, that was a good message. You know what I say? Praise the Lord. Because He gets the glory. I don't get the glory. I'm just preaching His word. Any honor, any glory we receive, we should deflect it back to the Lord. We should deflect it back to Him. For truly, whatever is good in us comes from Him and not from ourselves. Here's a few verses we can look at. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, Paul is talking about his apostleship and talking about his authority with the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. And he says this. Nope, not 1 Corinthians 3, 5. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians 3, 5. Or maybe I just have the wrong. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 3, 5. He says this. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He said, not that I'm thinking great things about myself. Not that I'm sufficient in myself and I'm thinking great things about myself. He says, no, our sufficiency is in God. And as Christians, we have to be careful to remember that. This is not about us. And it's not about how good we are. Oh, God got something good when I got saved. No, God got a mess when you got saved. God got a mess when I got saved. Okay? And we shouldn't think so much of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. Galatians chapter 6 verse 3 says this. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. If a man thinks himself to be, hey, I'm something important, when you're really nothing, you're deceiving yourself, Paul writes. I think about the Apostle Paul. You think about how the Apostle Paul viewed himself through his writings. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says this. 1 Corinthians 15, 9, he says, I am the least of the apostles. He said, I am an apostle, but of all the apostles, I am the least. I am the least of the apostles. And then a little while later, he writes another book, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 3:8, he says this. He doesn't say he's the least of the apostles. Now he says this. I am less than the least of all saints. I am less than the least of all saints. So he says, well, I'm the least of the apostles. Now he says, well, actually, I'm the least of all saved people. I'm the bottom of the totem pole. I'm the bottom rung on the ladder. Of all saved people, I am the lowest. And then he says this in 1 Timothy, right before he's executed. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he calls himself this. He says, I am the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. And so we see how Paul viewed himself. I'm the least of the apostles. I am least of all saints. No, I am the chief of sinners. And Paul you see how Paul views himself in relation to the Lord, constantly seeing him take another step down in humility. And then in Romans 12, Paul writes this. Romans 12:3, Paul writes this and says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." He says there in Romans 12:3, he says, every person should not think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. And so my question to you this morning is, how do you view yourself in relationship to the Lord? And we have to be very careful to keep a humble spirit, to keep humility in our hearts, and not be like John have a case of mistaken identity, but instead to sin and to have a case of stolen identity, where we think we are more important than we really are. We think that we have the authority to boss God around. It's not a prayer request, it's a prayer demand. That we have the authority to tell God what to do. We have to be careful to keep that right relationship. It would have been very easy and very human for John to claim some of the honor and the glory he was offered by the delegation. Are you that prophet? Oh yeah, I'm that prophet. Are you Elijah? Yeah, I'm the second coming of Elijah. No. He said, no, I'm not any of those things. It would have been very human of him to take some of that glory. But John understood his role and his purpose and deflected all the glory to the coming Lord. How do we respond when we represent the Lord? When you represent the Lord to someone else, how do you respond? Do we try to steal some of the glory for ourselves? Or do we deflect it all back to the Lord? Some people say about sharing the gospel, I'm just a beggar telling another beggar where to find a piece of bread. That's all I am. Not, listen to me, I'm important and I've got a great message for you. No, I'm a sinner saved by grace, just here to tell other sinners who can also be saved by grace. We need to keep a right relationship. We see that John responds with a denial. We see that John responds by revealing his identity. And then we see John responds with an announcement. But every time it is with great humility. Dear Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your love for us. Father, I pray that as we've looked at John here this morning and we've seen some events in his life and some things that have taken place, Lord, help us to also apply it to our lives. Lord, no one is going to come to us and ask us if we're the Christ. But even so, help us to be humble. Help us to have humility.